your directions on the news for Tuesday, July 10th, 2007. This is Joe Francisco of Directions Media, and I'm joined by my colleague, Adina Schitzberg, our executive editor. Today we'll review some of the latest technology features that the major and not-so-major mapping portals have added. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. With ArcGIS Image Server, you can maximize the value of your imagery by processing and distributing it on the fly, enterprise-wide. Learn more about ArcGIS Image Server at www.esri.com/directionsmag.
First thing I want to talk about is I kind of had an interesting time taking a spin around some of the web mapping portals. I think we were entering a different era of web mapping technology, only from the standpoint that you know we've been down the road with a couple of the major mapping portals. We've seen the features that they've added, and now some of the sites that have taken up the use of mapping in the past, like Realtor.com or Zillow, they're kind of going into the next phase of mapping functionality. And I used Zillow, and Zillow was interesting because I actually have a property for sale, and I wanted to see what could be found by adding, different pieces of information. And, of course, what the first thing it did was had found my property, and it had actually listed all of the different aspects of the property, how many bedrooms and all of that, from a previous time that I had entered information. And then it allowed me to post the site for sale, which was nice, and see all the existing home properties. But the other interesting part is using some of the features. They've got the 3D visual perspective. They post the information about the listing properties and the estimated home value right on there, so you can see the comparables. I thought that was kind of a neat site. But what it showed me was that we're getting a lot more information putting on these mapping sites, not just a basic stick map of the street and not just a pin placed into the general location of the property. So we're getting a lot more functionality being added to these sites, I think basically because as users we're becoming more sophisticated about what we want in mapping technology.
That makes a lot of sense. And I think what I saw from my looking around at a few sites was that the owners of those sites, I think, are working very hard to distinguish them one from the other. And I think that's where a lot of these new little enhancements are popping up. Just for one, in the latest update from Live Search Maps, that's Microsoft's mapping portal, they've added the visualization of topography. So you can actually see where the little hills are and so forth. And again, that's not a huge deal, especially to people who are used to 1 to 24 quad sheets and such. But to the general public, that's a big step forward, especially if you're in an area that you don't know. Or even to visualize, you know, a famous mountain or something. Like one of the examples they used when they had launched it was Mount Rainier, and it looks great. But just that visual distinction, I think, is really important. And that's something I saw when Yahoo did its relaunch not so long ago, that it now had detailed neighborhood information for a couple of cities, and it just looked different, and that I think is becoming more and more important as people pick their favorites, and then all of these properties jockey for position within the marketplace.
I think that's critical, and as I said when I was looking at Zillow, I liked the Virtual Earth's 3D perspective view of the house that I had on the market. Also, interestingly enough, Zillow also had some famous homes that you could take a look at, like the Sopranos house that they used in the TV series, and the Beverly Hillbillies house.
Well, tying into sort of popular culture makes a lot of sense, and that again ties into this other great thing that's happening with the internet called social networking. Again, we're trying to move beyond just being a mapping thing.
And speaking of social networking, I went to Palatial and to see what they had, and there was just a search feature on different businesses. I picked donuts and found a Dunkin' Donuts location in Manhattan, and it was just a point on a map that somebody had written a brief blurb about, and it brought up Google Maps. It wasn't terribly useful, so they haven't gone the full distance with Google, because what I would have appreciated was the Street View.
Well, I'm not sure, is the API available yet for the Street View?
I don't know if it is or not, but I guess what my point is that it would be nice that that would have been a nice feature to have, especially in a crowded urban area.
I just suggest that because I believe it is not yet available, but when it is, boy, you sure have to believe that an awful lot of developers are going to take advantage of it. I did want to point out, you said that you founded Dunkin' Donuts. Coming from the home of Dunkin' Donuts here in the Northeast, there's actually been a big push. There's a new campaign from Dunkin' Donuts where they've got their own mapping sites of all their Dunkin' Donuts. I think it's, you know, My Iced Coffee or something. I'll be sure to post the URL in the show notes. So they're doing their own thing. They're not waiting around, in a sense, for others to do that for them.
You know, I poked around for some of the hopefully more useful sites like FedEx Kinko's. Now, they're still using MapPoint technology from Microsoft, and, you know, it looks a little stale compared to what we're seeing with some of the other sites. However, of course, it's very useful. And clicking on the location that was presented to me in the zip code in which I was searching, they did automatically assume that you'd want driving directions. So
that whole question of driving directions versus walking directions versus cycling directions is getting a lot of play these days. I had the opportunity this weekend to do a bike ride, and the ride itself actually started about 7 miles from my house. So instead of throwing my bike in the car, which is what I normally do, I thought I would be brave and see if I could actually cycle to the start of the ride. So I jumped over to Google Maps, and I had it find the directions. And I noticed sort of two things. One was that there was a checkbox for avoid highways, because the original route that it had laid out did, in fact, go on the highway. So I checked avoid highways, and lo and behold, it avoided the highways. And that was a pretty good bike route. Now, the other thing that's interesting and new was announced just last week or so by Google, was this ability, once Google had found a route for you to pick up the route and drag it to a different road that you wanted to travel on. And that's really huge, and a lot of the bloggers were just oohing and aahing, and rightfully so, for a couple of reasons. One is, this is really the far edge of this Ajax technology, where you're sort of picking up and editing things, not just moving it around, but this is sort of that full-featured GIS-like interface right on the web, really quick, really intuitive. If you move your cursor around, you can pick the route up at different places and drag it over, and it just drops right down, and then the listed directions also update. So it's
right.
Fabulous. You can force the route to go by a very specific location.
So also, I found this on Google. I found the same feature you did. And I was looking for a particular POI. In this case, it was a golf course. So when I moved around to that golf course, over in the legend, you can edit that stop. And when you bring up the dialog box to edit, you can actually type in the name of the golf course, and it will move to that POI. So whether you type in an address or you type in a POI location, it will actually do a search for you, kind of a proximity search, and find the exact location. So from the standpoint of just dragging and dropping, you can do it, but also editing that same point to find the exact location.
So this is really getting down to making this route really your own and meaningful to you, with your meaningful places along it. And that's huge. And that's, I think, another thing that we're seeing here is, you know, let's really customize this whole experience to you.
The one interesting thing here is, remember how we used to try to customize the routes with intermediate stops? Well, now you just do it on the fly with the drag and drop.
Right. It's much more elegant. Absolutely. And much more intuitive, I think. And I had one challenge as I put together my route to ride to the beginning of the organized ride this weekend, and that was that I know that there is actually a bike path that sort of heads in the direction I'm going in. In fact, it's officially the Minuteman Bikeway, and we're pleased here in New England that it is the second most used mixed-use path in the nation. It was but that's not on the map. And not only is it not on the map, it's not part of the routing engine. So that was a whole transportation network that's just not available to me. That, I think, is sort of this next step of how are we going to get in all of these extra local features that I know about, and certainly everybody in my local area knows about, but clearly Google doesn't know about it yet. So as far as I know, there is no way for me to tell Google, hey, you really need to put this into your network database, and, oh, please tag it with the fact that cars can't drive on it, but bikes can, and rollerbladers can and walkers can and so forth.
Before we leave the topic, the one thing I wanted to highlight was even in some of the major mapping portals that have been using the technology for a while, and I'll come back to realtor.com, just because I thought what they did was a very nice way to navigate around the web page itself. They're using Microsoft's Virtual Earth, but you know they've got the properties on the right, on the left-hand side, and the tooltips are very useful. And of course, you can do the hybrid map. But I just thought that the way they were you allowed to search on it and navigate around the map was done in a much more elegant way. I think that, as I said in the beginning, we're coming to the standpoint where these websites are becoming, they're understanding what the user wants, and all the way to the point where that next click gets you right to the piece of information that you wanted. They're understanding how the user interfaces with the map itself and the associated information.
Over these past few years that the vendors have gotten feedback from the users, focus on usability, the focus on intuitive interfaces where you don't have to go and read the directions or pull through a whole bunch of different menus to find out how to, you know, change your route or add a stop and so forth. And what I'm curious about now is how much of that sort of interface updating and enhancement is now going to track back to the professional GISs, because there's no reason it can't.
Well, that's a good question, because if you go down that path and you've selected your vendor, whether it's one of the major GIS vendors for your internet mapping portal, I have heard of some users in that community, in the typical GIS community, like a local government, making the switch over to a Google interface or a Microsoft interface. While their back end is a major GIS vendor, their front end is not. And they'll want to avail themselves of the things that we've just been talking about.
Cost is only one part of that. I think that this idea of usability and access by the citizens, if it's a local government, or by potential customers, if it's a business, that's huge. If they're not going to use it to find where they're going, you know, then it's not doing its job. And when we come right back to what you said before about Kinko's, that they're still using, you know, what looks like an old-fashioned sort of, you know, MapQuest search tool to find locations of businesses, it does the job.
And we have to realize that, you know, while we're looking for the next big thing, there are many people who are very satisfied with technology they've had for a couple of years. Well, that's all the time we have for today. ESRI would like to remind you about a new book, Thinking About GIS, Geographic Information System Planning for Managers, and it's now in its third edition. This revised and updated edition by Dr. Roger Tomlinson is intended to help organizations plan a GIS from the ground up. For more information, visit esri.com/directionsmag. Thanks again for joining us. If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, please write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. We'll see you next time, and be sure to tell a friend.